I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How okay. was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is.
What's up? I'm Laura Correnti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia.
We are in March.
We're in March. It's March Madness. March is coming in like a lion. So, March on to the topic of this episode.
The content studio.
The content studio. So we have Otto Bell, who's the chief creative officer of Courageous, a Turner Media content studio. And they've been around for a couple of years and kind of burning things up.
Yeah. So in the spirit of it being our first creative-led episode, we are going to make this a podcast short and welcome Otto Bell to the show. Welcome to the show, Otto.
Hello, Otto.
Thank you, ladies. Nice to see you both.
Yes, thank you.
We are so happy you're here.
We are very happy you're here. So I haven't seen you since we were both at Ogilvy.
That's right.
You were leading Ogilvy Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, now you're at Courageous, what was the path from agency into media company?
I arrived at CNN because I had...
Sounds like you just went to the doors and you're like... I'm here.
it was a fun origin story. I don't know if you know this one, Laura, but it's we haven't talked about it. So I got really friendly with Kat, head of sales at CNN.
Kat Kukach,
that's right. And we became good friends over the years because I was at Ogilvy. We were carving out all of these interesting deals with like BBC World News and CNBC and Times Now of India, all of these sort of multi-platform TV led deals for content. And I was always trying to work with CNN with my then boss Doug Scott. We were always trying to get something away at CNN, but they were so strict about their church and state. They just wouldn't do anything exotic in terms of hybrid deals or anything like that. So it got, but then a couple of years later, Kat gave me a call and she said, oh, I want you to come in and let's chat about a marketing job. And she introduced me to some of her colleagues, Mikhail, and we got to talking, and it became clear pretty quickly that they needed help with branded content.
Yeah.
And by that time, Jeff Zucker had arrived and he had really, he'd become a lot more thoughtful about the network, about adding entertainment properties to the network that kind of broaden the definition of journalism, you know, stuff like Bourdain and Lisa Ling and W. Kamal Bell. And so the company was ready to do more and to, but obviously in a very careful way. So we struck on the idea of setting up a branded content studio.
How many years ago was that?
Two and a half years ago, yeah.
So right in the prime of everybody, start of rushing.
So there was like T-Brand existed. Studio.
Yeah, yeah, there was one or two. But that's the thing. I mean, you swing a cat now in this town, you're going to hit somebody who's opening a content studio, right?
Right. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
Well, they're everywhere. I mean, when we set up Courageous, we named it after Ted Turner's America's Cup winning yacht, actually. Oh. But it also speaks to the mindset that we want our clients to be in, right? We want them to be brave and bold and open-minded and generally courageous. But with everybody opening a brand studio, I mean, the trick is you've got to really look very carefully at what sits behind that. Right? It's very easy to hang a shingle.
Yeah.
But to my experience, I mean, you guys probably know better, but everything that I see, that seems to be a lot of hollow studios out there. So a lot of account handlers or folks who will kind of take your order, and then they'll turn around and they'll
produce something.
Yeah, and they'll hire a bunch of freelancers to actually execute the work.
Yeah,
or it's maybe a rebadged marketing department, right? Going by another name in a cool new corner of the office. We built Courageous from the ground up. We took a very different, and that was part of the deal when I joined, is that we're going to need to do things a certain way. I had a lot of scars and a lot of lessons from Ogilvy and wanted to build something quite quite deliberate and quite self-sufficient. So we set out and we hired a full-time team. I think we're up to about 35 full-time staff now.
That's a lot.
Well, everybody makes and does. So it is a lot when you consider that everybody is either a cinematographer or a craft editor or a filmmaker, a director, or a graphic designer, or a web developer.
You don't have account people running around?
No, that's handled by other parts of the business, which is great. So we just focus on actually making the stuff.
What differentiates Courageous from everything else that is in the market? What's sort of the elevator pitch when you walk in and are going up against bids for commercial spots to full live production, cinematography? What does that look like to you? Because there are skills, I think, that you have within the walls of Courageous that many folks don't.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, in terms of differentiation, it's self-sufficiency. So it's that ability. I mean, we're doing things at one-fifth the cost of a creative agency or a glossy production company. Because we've taken the two biggest costs out of production, so we don't have day rates for freelancers, and we own our own gear. So that is one big differentiator. But then we're also pretty particular, snobby is another word, about the folks who we've brought on board. Because in a world where everybody wants good, fast, and affordable, the good part, the quality part, can often suffer. And I deliberately tried to hire the same caliber of people that you'd find kicking around a CNN newsroom. We have them at Courageous working in a dedicated way for brands. So I'm talking about Emmy and Murrow winning filmmakers. I mean, we've only been going just over a couple of years, and I would hasten to say we're probably the most awarded brand studio in America this year already. You know, everything from the Cannes Lions to Digiday naming us the best publisher for video. So we are we're very focused on the people that we bring in to make sure that they can deliver at a high quality. You know, the kind of commercial production standards that brands expect.
Yeah, right.
You know, just because they're moving,
that's right,
they're moving maybe from an ad from an agency of record model to an ad more project by project basis. They're not giving up that. Polish that they have spent years and billions of dollars honing. Yeah. You know, like they still care a great deal about that. So, you know, we're very conscious of that, and I try to make sure that the work is certainly looks good enough. But then also the big difference, and we can talk more about agency versus publisher, but
Let's go there.
But I mean, that idea of having a value exchange now there's... So you ask, you know, making commercials and that sort of stuff. Our commercial will be a secondary output of what it is that we do. You know, I'm not really in the business of making 30-second spots or trying to replace a traditional creative agency.
Do you even want to make them?
Does Turner want you to do it?
Well, no. I mean, what we're seeing is a lot of clients asking for it. You know, they'll 30 start
second
off,
spot.
Yeah, what happens is we'll start off making something, 2-3, maybe an event, something like that. They'll see it online or they'll see it on TV. You know, we have these pod takeovers Native Plus, where we just run a piece of content instead of a bunch of 30s. They'll see it, they'll like it, and then they'll want to graduate it to a full campaign. So they'll want to take it off of our network and play it everywhere, you know, on the side of a building in Austin or in cinemas or around the Super Bowl. I mean, these are all real examples.
So that's a good question. You said campaign, but then you were talking about a specific execution. I mean, are you seeing the work that you're doing informing larger kind of campaign or campaign strategy?
I'm seeing them being picked up and used as a campaign.
Okay. What's the best brief you've gotten?
The one that can change. You know, and I mean that.
That's a great answer.
That's such a creative. The one where I can do what I want.
It's not even me.
You still pay me.
I got far better people than mine. I'll give you an example. Video game company.
Yeah.
Square Enix. They do Hitman and Lara Croft and stuff. They have another franchise, Deus Ex. It's set like 15 years in the future, and mankind is divided between people who have changed their bodies with technology and people who haven't. And it's like this war going on.
Sounds like my kind of game.
it's
She's
great.
A gamer of the duo.
I'm the gamer of the duo.
So this is
it's
Mankind
true.
Divided. Deus Ex Mankind Divided. So they came to us and they're looking to go beyond average gamers. The initial brief that came in was for like some homepage takeovers the day the game released.
Fuck, why? You know why? Because people don't even think about media right. So how can they go and brief you on something that they came in and they said, we want some
homepage takeover equals impact.
Well, yeah.
I mean, a gaming company you know, who's creating cinematic content that people interact with.
Yeah. What was good about the brief was they listened. So the guys
You're
are
like,
journalists,
hell no, takeover.
Right? They started to look at the brief and... Because they're journalists, they can't help themselves. These are a lot of my filmmakers. They've got backgrounds.
These are the people on your team.
In journalism, yeah. And they start looking
at
the brief.
They give a fuck all. They're like, whatever.
They start scratching away at it. And they're like, well, you realize that this isn't science fiction. Like, a lot of what your game deals with, that's actually happening now.
Now.
And they found, you know, the first cyber hate crime in France, like, 6 months earlier. And then what they pointed out, though, in the case that we made back to the client is... Yet there is no bill on the floor of Congress. There's no one body who's thinking about this subject matter. This is all, you know, the science is galloping ahead, but nobody's tackling it in a thoughtful way. So what we ended up doing was we ended up having the first summit on human augmentation, like the first conference for cyborgs in the history of the world.
So we'll be back after this quick break.
So we're back in the studio with maybe our first creative on the show.
Officially our first creative on the show.
Otto Bell, Chief Creative Officer of Courageous.
Yeah.
Can you explain to our listeners, how do you push back or redirect the conversation? So you said you came to the table with insights.
Yeah.
You were looking at...
Way deeper context.
Way deeper context. What was that process like for your team to sort of pivot the client to get to... From a homepage takeover to a cyborg conference.
I wish I was there. You did.
Laughing.
You didn't even blink.
Well, it's the first word. There's a couple of things. There's a lot of communication. And then, backing it up with insights and research. You're not going to get past go without a counter argument. You know, a big meaty insight backed up with statistics and some kind of concrete research. Before you go on any kind of flight of fancy or creative meandering, there has to be the counterpoint. Like, we heard you on this, but did you know that X? So they wanted to go beyond a hardcore gaming audience, and we did that. You know, it's public knowledge. We boosted sales by 54% on Amazon during the campaign. Like, we have real results on how we affected the numbers. You've got to have the client who's open to it. I mean, the amount of time that we'll spend, and we've worked together, you know, the amount of time we'll spend talking about things in pre-production saves you so much time later, right? One of my pet peeves with publishers is like, trust us. You know, hey, we've got this from here on out.
Although I feel like you've said that to me many times.
Uh-oh.
Well, hopefully I've heard it.
Yeah.
That line just died, Otto.
What I haven't done, right, is dumped something on your desk after 2 months of radio silence and said, like, hey, review this rough cut. And it's a million miles away from
anybody
from
who works with Alexa and I knows that we don't live in silence. So. It's interesting. Alexa and I go back and forth a lot, and you were getting to this earlier on in the conversation around talent and the types of backgrounds or skill sets that you're pulling from. Yeah. What you were just describing would be research and strategy in a way in which you're pulling from different departments. I know that you have Launchpad, for example, which is a tremendous social insights tool that your team uses to field editorial. Can you talk about some of the inputs and what the skill sets look like in this sort of modern version of content creation?
Well, in my case, where I've sort of netted out is it's weighted in favor of folks with editorial backgrounds.
Yeah.
With a healthy mix of advertising professionals and then just a dash of data science. That would be the recipe that I'm cooking with. So those editorial guys, those people are worth their weight in gold. It's a hell of a lot easier to teach marketing to a journalist than it is to teach a marketer how to be a journalist. like their instincts to kind of source report,
yes,
to get on the phone and track down a great story and not stop until they've got to an underexplored angle or an interesting narrative hook. Like that tenacity, it has been a revelation for me coming from advertising. On top of that, it is good to have...
I don't think you talk about that enough, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I think that when you kind of go into these meetings, you know, for anybody who has a studio, everybody talks about we have the pipes, we have the scale, we're built into X, Y, and Z network. But actually coming at it, that's a point of differentiation in comparison to a creative agency.
Yeah.
Right? You're selling. This is a commercial, but this is a commercial company you've got.
And to that point, though, that's one of the promises that I make to the journalists who do come over and work with me and concentrate on brands is, you know, you give me a few years of your time and I will in turn make you kind of fluent, commercially fluent.
Yeah.
Right? Like I will teach you how to market and how to market yourself and how to
market
your project.
Which in today's business is an essential.
It's absolutely crucial. Yeah, I mean, if you've got a passion project or you want to extract money from somebody in order to realize your creative vision,
yeah,
chances are you're going to have to walk into a room and present and know how to lay out an argument and explain to a financier or somebody who's commissioning your project why you deserve it.
I always thought it was fascinating that J school and business school were separate tracks.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there's really a need for at least the business school angle to live within journalism. It was interesting. The Oscars this weekend, you know, Frances McDormand is saying, finance our films.
Yeah.
You've got to go out.
That's right.
You need to go out, know how to sell your work.
Absolutely. What is the difference between advertising and branded content anymore? Or how are you actually, are you putting a line in the sand? Do we need to anymore?
Is that funny? There's that good 2001, wasn't it? Seth Godin said, content marketing is all the marketing that's left.
Yes.
I don't think we're there yet. I think TV's still pretty powerful. I would say that though, wouldn't I? I work at CNN. Look, I think the idea of a value exchange, but to me, that's always informed good marketing as well.
That's right.
So, how much of this is new?
Yeah.
I don't know. Theoretically, not much, but in practice, in the articulation, in the expression of it,
in the execution,
we are definitely living in a different time than we were even 5 years ago.
The output, when you think about the traditional 30 and 60, is focused on the brand.
Correct.
When you think about the output of branded content in the sense in which the three of us are talking about it, the value and the focus is on the consumer and protecting that experience
hopefully.
And making it hopefully a symbiotic relationship in the context of what they are watching.
Yep.
And that to me is the fundamental difference. It's not a break in the content, it's additive to the content.
But it's also about the context of the brand. The context of how a brand shows up is so important and probably more important now to brands than it ever has been before, right?
Yeah.
And I go back to trumping your values. Our first episode, just so you know, Otto, you should listen to it if you haven't already. We talk about brands and expressing their core values. Right. I think that good content gives the ability for brands to both express their core values in context of the consumer and the consumer actually to interact with the brand in their own context, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this two-way.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's really interesting as well is that in what you say, brands expressing their core values, that scares a lot of people and like, you're expecting me as a brand to take a stand and to wade into these. That is not...
No.
You don't have to be divisive in order to take a stand. And that's one of the great misconceptions. Like what we did on New Year's Eve.
Taking, politics and purpose.
There's also a difference between taking a stand and having a perspective.
Exactly.
It's like having a pulse and being a corpse. Right?
I mean, you're either one or the other.
But there are plenty of moments out there, like New Year's, like what I did. Our first live ad was around the eclipse.
Yeah, was great.
But what was nice about that is, all right, the country's in uproar, a lot of people taking sides. But on that day, everybody looking at the same moon, everybody united in this fabulous moment. Same thing with New Year's. Show me somebody who's not hopeful for the new year on December 31st.
Right.
You know, so there's plenty of, it's your
talk
point.
Talk to them January 1st. That's a different
purpose
story.
Purpose is a very different thing to politics.
Yeah. At a upfront a couple years back, I remember Donna Special up on stage talking about Turner moving away from frequency in mm-hmm. the number of spots that they were putting in their primetime yep. programming and focusing on building longer pods to allow for this longer narrative, which yep. you call Native yep. Plus, within programs on TNT, TBS, et cetera.
Yep.
Interestingly enough, NBC came out just a few days ago and said, we are going to be moving to fewer of them to protect our programming as well. Yeah. Is there a trend to sort of protect the consumer experience? And does that change the difference between content versus commercial?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of experimentation happening and for good reason, right? You know, the problem, or one of the side effects of the rise in subscription models is that it accentuates the adverts that remain, the commercials that remain in your life when you have a newspaper subscription, when you have a Spotify
sure.
subscription, when you have Netflix subscription. All of these things, they exacerbate the commercials that are left. They feel even more painful. They feel even more interruptive. So, yeah, so you're right. The traditional broadcasters and cable nets, you are seeing them cut their ad load. NBC is 10%. You know, that's two network promos per commercial break. We'll get them to that target. So I think, honestly, I don't know if that's enough. You know, we did 14 hours of commercial replacement last year, which is where we put content like mine, made by Courageous, into commercial pods and kicked out all those 30s. And we did 14 hours of that. So it's a...
What was the reaction for that?
Some of them are holding the rating, which, as you know, is...
Yeah,
is
that's very that's impressive.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, so more of that, please. But that turn around an oil tanker. It takes time.
Is there a future where brands start taking over and producing content themselves and maybe even more with an editorial lens? Like, what to you is going to, one, sustain your business and grow it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think, where are like some interesting pops or turns or swerves that you think may be coming in the industry?
Well, it's already happening. I mean, you know, did you guys see the Lego movie?
Yes, of course.
Did you buy a ticket?
We've brought this up.
Yeah.
We brought this up.
I mean, in the documentary space, you know, you had that.
But not every brand is going to make a Lego movie, like a full feature film, right?
Yeah, agreed. But I think in the short term, there's going to be a reckoning.
Talk about
honestly.
That.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of these magazines with websites are in trouble.
Because
their brand studios, the cost of production is not commensurate with the ad revenue that it generates, right?
Yep.
They can't chuck. So you've got to, there is a certain point where you've got to have either an incredibly valuable audience or critical mass in terms of distribution to sustain these kind of custom content deals.
Yep.
Right? Like for some, what you're seeing is it's kind of like a death rattle of print, and, you know, Facebook's algorithm changes are only going to accelerate that as well. So I think in the short term, there'll be a reckoning. But long term, I think the future looks very bright for what we do. I think all the trade winds are, you know, pushing in our favor. And I think you will see more and more commercial replacement. I think you'll see more and more addressable custom content. I think it'll be at the vanguard of a lot of these changes that we've been promised for so long.
Yeah.
In terms of attribution models and addressable, I think custom content will increasingly be bound up in those discussions as the primary vehicle to get us to that nirvana, that, you know, that future we've been promised for so long.
Yeah. Do you see Courageous becoming the agency of record for blue chip brands?
Yeah, I do. I certainly entertainment agency of record.
Yeah.
but then I also think the AOR model is somewhat outdated. You know, I'm quite happy. Like, look, I mean, I really pride ourselves on our annuities. I think it's the way that you build a sustainable business. I want Courageous to be around 20 years from now. And I want people to look at it in the same way that they look at Ogilvy on a resume. And they're like, that place is a great...
That's quality.
Yeah, that's a great university for
yeah,
what
that's
you,
right.
we... You know, that's yeah. a badge of, yeah, come on in. The water's warm kind of thing.
But right now, would you say that most brands are discovering you because they're coming in through the front door of CNN from a media perspective? Are people coming in from the side door looking for creative solutions?
No, the majority is it's coming through the traditional media sales. Absolutely, I would say a slim majority is
what's
coming
it
going
to take
way.
For that to become a standalone service?
I'm not looking. I'm fine servicing media deals at the moment. I don't have a big interest in a white label production operation. There are plenty of people. In fact, that's kind of a tough business, and increasingly is, and I think is going to see its own degree of contraction as well. I mean, I feel very good about the production model today. That said, this whole thing is changing. Like, look, yeah. if you don't like standing on a burning platform, you probably shouldn't be in marketing and advertising right now, because
yeah.
it is changing day by day. But as of today,
that works.
You know,
do you see Courageous inventing? I mean, you kind of said no to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do you see Courageous inventing any new forms of media that are, you know, based on specific content or IP uniqueness?
Yeah. I think one of the great revenue areas for us in the future is in some way or another. And we've had lots of conversations about it. We haven't landed on exactly how best to do this, but it is unignorable the fact that we are generating so much IP on a daily basis. You know, I was in conversations
Turner is
with
like full stop
CNN, yeah. great big story. These guys are churning out stories, headlines, investigative stories, feature reports.
Yeah,
I mean, I was in a conversation recently with a competitor. From a development team on a cable company. And he goes, oh, yeah, my staff, he runs a development department. He goes, they love Great Big Story. He goes, they wake up every morning, and the first thing they do, they check out Great Big Story for ideas. I'm like, well...
For ideas for them.
Exactly. I think that we should be doing a better job of harnessing that. And we've got a lot of people who've got great commercial instincts. Mm. You know, that's what we do all day for our advertisers. So I think we should... you know, that's one potential area, I think, in which we can grow.
Do you see a brand ever buying Courageous?
Oh, I don't know. Again, let's see what happens to the landscape in the marketplace. Yeah. But no, right now I think it's settled nicely where it should be inside of Turner servicing, you know, working outwards.
Yeah.
So it's time.
What's
we're going to play our favorite game.
Do you know this game? You don't know this game. She never told you?
No, I didn't tell him. Otto's creative. He can come up with something on the spot.
Yeah.
So we play our version of Kill, Fuck, Marry, which is called Kill by DIY.
Kill by DIY.
And it's what would you kill in the market?
Uh-huh.
What would you buy?
Uh-huh.
And what would you do yourself? So, Otto Bell, what would you kill?
What would you kill?
I would kill... lazy PSAs.
Oh, all right.
Can you give
that.
Us an example?
Well, you know, you see a lot of them. Taxi TV is like a nest of bad PSAs. You know, it's always like...
Or a brilliant revenue stream strategy.
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. The business model is fantastic. I just mean the content. Like, you know, whenever you see... it's always a celeb holding a sign in front of like a white psych... And then,
like written signs.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And then they parade 20 of them out, and that's supposed to have a real impact on you. I think there's just that whole industry can be so much more powerful. And they just let themselves down sometimes. I would really want to improve the state of PSAs generally.
I like that. right.
What was the next one?
What would you buy?
What would I buy? It would have to be some kind of proprietary technology, because... You know, buying like a VR company or an influencer network. I mean, those are all things you can hire somebody to do that, and you don't have to pay a premium.
So what tech like would change your life?
Embedded brain chips.
I think it's got to be something like that.
Yeah.
It's got to be something.
I feel you, Otto.
It's got to be, you know, maybe something voice driven right now,
Anchor.
Something really like something that is proprietary, where you're not just buying
it would be three smart
people who, I don't know, something like that, something like some kind of next, some kind of frightening delivery system, right? Like, so
you're so Black Mirror, like you really want to be Black Mirror.
And what would you do yourself? Something that you've seen in the market that you're like, I could have done this better the Otto Bell way.
Experiential. We've dipped our toe into a few, you know, TED-like events.
Why is everything a TED-like event, by the way?
Because it's the easiest shorthand.
That's right.
Like the moniker for it. It's just a way for people to. But even that, I think that format is ripe for overhaul as well. I just think blending. I think events are a really efficient way to harvest a great deal of reusable content generally. I think they're fantastic for that. And, you know, in a day, you can get 8 hours of content, which you can dice up and put out into the world. But the actual occasion itself, properly scheduling that, properly curating it so that you've got everything from music to food to insightful human stories. You know, nobody's really, I think we've all been to those conferences held by banks, held by management consultancies, held by ad agencies.
Yeah.
And they're not that interactive. They're not that varied. You know, it's a lot of panels and keynotes.
I'd love to see you guys do that at the Upfront this year. Maybe that's a
tip
of an idea.
Yeah. I want to.
I was like, "Yep,
mm-hmm. a little bit close maybe, in for that now.
Maybe 2019. Maybe 2019.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. One more question. Sorry. What thing, whether it's some kind of physical art piece, some audio thing, some band you're into, like, what are you jamming on right now?
I got my new film project coming out. We just got financing for that. Can't talk about the subject matter, but it's gonna be a. It's going to be a doozy. It's going to be a hell of a film. So I'm very excited about that. And
is it a full feature film?
Yeah. That's what we're going for. Cinematic feature documentary.
All right, Otto Bell.
Always a pleasure.
If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do it?
Otto.bell@turner.com.
Thank you, Otto.
Thank you for visiting. Great seeing you again.
Bye now.
I don't think I've seen Otto for a few years now, so it was nice for me to see Otto. You've been working with him.
Yeah, he's tremendous, and it's really fun to watch them sort of differentiate themselves in the market, and which is a very competitive space right now.
Super competitive. And I liked his honest answer. Everyone says this part of it. Everyone says, like, okay, we all know there's a little bit of a doomsday coming for, like, content studios and branded content in media companies.
Right.
And he said that. But what I liked was a very honest response of, like, this is a tough game, right? And so I'm going to get the best people, and I'm very comfortable being a part of the media company that I have. And right now,
I'm
good with that.
Right. He wasn't looking to white label his solution. He wasn't looking to spin off and become a standalone creative shop. He was very comfortable playing in the space, knowing what a network like Turner brings to the space. And that's quality content, that's global pipes, that's differentiated, you know, IP in the market. And it's interesting. I think that they're just getting started, and I'm really excited to see where they head next.
One thing that I think that Turner has that a lot of people don't have, a lot of media companies don't have, is the ability to be live anywhere, kind of in a minute, in a second.
24/7, yeah.
And you guys proved that out with some of the, you know, it took work.
Right.
But, and pre-planning. But you proved that out with the live ad you guys did with Mass Mutual. I would love to see programming where brands come in and actually do programming with them like that. But it's commercial, and I think people would watch it if it was great programming.
Totally. The biggest takeaway I took was the idea of interspersing journalists and people with strict editorial backgrounds in the branded content space, and that's something I'll take away and start thinking about how we incorporate that in the agency model, because it's not a skill set I think many people are looking for.
100%.
And I until he said it, I didn't really kind of connect the dots around the rigor and fact-checking and looking for, what he said, a different way in and an angle that hasn't been explored.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things that has been unmerchandised as when it comes to branded studios.
I also think
content studios.
I think that, like, to that point, and one of the big things on the marketer side that, like, boggles my mind is, like, do we actually expect our creatives, whether it's at a branded studio or a content studio, an agency, a media company, to actually give us really rich and phenomenal stories, right? And content and ideas when we're doing it in a fucking one-page brief.
Amen, sister.
All right.
So with that,
thank you, Cameron Drews.
All our friends and family at Panoply, Matt Turk, Andy Bowers, Jacob Weisberg.
We will be back in 2 weeks after South By, coming back at you, Atlantia.
See you out there, y'all. Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.
Who do you think, outside of Courageous, because you, of course, are going to say Courageous, like, who do you think is actually producing the best content?
Oh, the brand studios?
Well.
Yeah, or just in
or
general.
Or just in general.
Oh, just in general?
I mean, you're going to say, like, the BBC, because you're British. No, I'm just kidding.
What am I enjoying right now? I think the New York Times do a great job. I think Anonymous is the kind of company that Anonymous and what Patrick Millingsmith is doing with Smuggler, those are a couple of companies that I would aspire to emulate with Courageous.
Those are like production companies, right?
Yeah, they're diversified, they have a bedrock of a commercial business. Radical's another great example of this.
Yeah.
They got a bedrock of commercial business, which does very well, world-class work. But then you look at them and they're diversifying. And they have been for a long time.
And diversified into, like, editorial
TV,
and entertainment.
Broadway, features.
Yeah.
I mean, Anonymous, you got an Oscar-winning studio.
Yeah.
Patrick's got VR and Broadway going very nicely. Radical are obviously, they must be one of the top five producers for Netflix at this point. Like, there are great opportunities. And I think my point is this, like, I would like to grow a business where it is totally format agnostic.
Yes.
Right? Like, where the medium or the story dictates the medium and the channel. We're getting there. One of the nice things about being at CNN is I can play this game a little bit. I've got two TV stations. I've got an international network. We've got the airport network. We've got a Snapchat channel. We've got VOD. We've got OTT. We've got biggest social handle in news. What that equates to is a channel agnostic sort of approach, whereby you tell me your problem as a brand.
It's a channel
or a challenge,
right?
Exactly. Channel. And I'll build you an event, or I'll build you a TV show, or I'll build you a short form film series, or I'll put all of those things together working in concert.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get to that, even outside the commercial realm.
Yeah.
Frictionless marketing.
Yeah. And self-financing marketing as
self-financing
well.
Self-financing is that, really interesting.
That's the utopia, I've done it a couple of times in my career. Literally, I can count them on one.